down here at the American Freedom Network, and as you know, we are going to be there in Colorado on, I guess it's this coming Saturday, and if you're interested, I'm going to be speaking at Loveland there, and hopefully we're going to have the doors open an hour and a half or 2 hours ahead of time. I'm trying to get the doors of the theater open as soon as we can, but if you'd like more information, why don't you call them at 970-346-3743. That's 970-346-3742, but right now let's get to our special guest, and that's Barry Shavison. Barry has a tremendous amount of information about what's going on in Israel. He's an investigative reporter.
No.
I think, though, that you'll be fascinated.
Oh, it's
that's what
I didn't know
today.
Back.
So, Barry, without further ado, why don't you tell us what your interpretation is of what's going on in Israel today?
Well, what's going on this week is just pure insanity. The difference in 1 week to a country like Israel is simply profound. Now, you know, we have new listeners, so let's start with anthrax. The Israeli army, it was discovered, this is not conspiratorial, by the way, this is just plain ordinary the news. It was exposed on Channel 2, an Israeli TV channel, that the Israeli army has been conducting anthrax tests on its soldiers. Now, they become very sick. There were a lot of very sick soldiers. And it turns out that while in the army, they were given a new vaccine. Turns out Saddam Hussein was threatening Israel with anthrax, so these soldiers were given a new vaccine for anthrax.
It was an experimental vaccine, wasn't it?
There is no anthrax vaccine. Well, the American Army supposedly has one. The soldiers are dying of Gulf War syndrome, God knows what else. But, yeah, it was experimental. The point is, when you do something like a vaccine, and if you have to use people, you use the old, you use the sick, you use the dying, you use prisoners without hope. You don't take the strongest young men who joined an army to defend the country and make them sick like this. The demoralization of Israelis now against their army is just so profound. I mean, my son's going in, and you think I want him to go into an army where they conduct 800 soldiers, and that's a lot of soldiers, by the way. But the real figure, who knows what the real figure is? The point is, do you want your child to be in an army where they can be a guinea pig? They can be a lab rat.
And that's exactly what they did here in America, and that's what they did over in Israel, to their finest young men.
Well, they did it, in my opinion, because in America you were forced to stop the vaccinations because soldiers were objecting, and there were court martials, and I think the Americans just went to Israel and said, look, we have a little problem, we've got to develop a vaccine, use your soldiers. That's what I think happened. But nonetheless, we still go back to the same issue. These men are supposed to defend our nation. They're not supposed to be, well, we'll say it again, lab rats.
But they really are ill, and some of them even have epilepsy and just totally wiped out, destroyed their lives thanks to the fact they were experimented on. Why would you experiment on your own soldiers? You might do that to the enemy's soldiers, but why to your own?
God, we don't have enough genuine convicted terrorists in Israel who are sitting in prisons, who have murdered people. You can't use them. You have to use our people. Oh, my. Well, we go on to something that the army is, if there isn't enough demoralization, and the anthrax thing has been covered up, by the way, in Israel, you don't hear about it anymore. Nonetheless, what you do hear about now are the soldiers of Sderot and the region of the northern Negev are refusing to serve in the army. They're actually refusing to serve in the army. They sent a letter to Ehud Olmert, said that we joined an army because it was to defend our home. and our home is still up, and we're not defending it, so we're not going to join the army. And this, by the way, is spreading. This is now actually spreading. Now, if this mutiny spreads, this IDF, this wonderful army, at one point it was the greatest army in the world. Can you believe that it was once the greatest army in the world, this IDF, is now going to have a nationwide mutiny. They're trying to control this. They're trying to keep it intact. But the soldiers of Sherot are not going into the army anymore. They would rather sit in prison than perform their services as a soldier of the IDF. And this, by the way, is not conspiratorial. You know, people always say the same thing, that I must be making it up. Okay, it's not made up. This is just straight out of the Jerusalem Post and all the Israeli newspapers in Hebrew. Our army is suffering a mutiny. And this is extremely, extremely serious. But I'm going to go into conspiratorial now, because I'm being proven so deeply right about so many things right now. Now, I'll start with an easy one, and we'll go through the list. I have been saying that the PFLP, the Front for the Liberation of Palestine, has been nothing more than a Christian terror organization, and that always confused me. Who was this George Kabash? He was the founder of the PFLP, who died literally in the arms of François Mitterrand. No exaggeration. He died in France. And it hit me that every time, not every time, how often were they used? Nonetheless, the Paris used to phone France and say, I'm in a spot, I need a terrorist. And out would come the PFLP. Now, there was one example of that was just so profound. That example was the murder of Ze'evi, of Rechavam Ze'evi, our tourism minister. Rechavam Ze'evi was as I have told you over, and people are still having problems with, he was murdered by Shimon Peres.
Hold on, we'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish here at the American Freedom Network. Here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Barry Shamish. First of all, he talked about using the Israeli soldiers as guinea pigs for the anthrax vaccine, and this has been going on for some years, that many of these young men are terribly ill and totally incapacitated, thanks to the military. And who knows, maybe Barry's right. Maybe our army wanted to do it. They had a lot of objection. But don't worry, we've gone back to giving it to our boys here, and they're getting sick again. There really are people who are intent upon destroying the young people are the ones who ordinarily would defend America and would defend Israel. Pick the story up there, Barry.
Well, we're on to a new one. There's so much, there's really just so much scandal in the last week. We were on to the PFLP, the Front for the Liberation of Palestine. I have been saying that it's nothing but a Mossad front. And I got that idea from the murder of Rechavam Ze'evi, the tourism minister who was about to expose Paris, who threatened Sharon that if Paris isn't out of the government, he was going to quit. He was going to take two other political parties with him, and he was going to wreck Sharon's government, and then he gets shot. And we've gone over that the Israeli who lived in the hotel room next to him, Yitzhak Eitan, had organized the murder with the PFLP. And then they were later arrested, the British American soldiers, 24 hours a day guarded them in Jericho. They had to shut these people up. Then the Arafat told the world that we did not kill Ze'evi, that it wasn't our hit. And then lo and behold, Arafat dies, and these prisoners and Jericho start opening their mouths. The Israeli army comes in, liberates them. They've never liberated them. Took them away, killed the PLO guard. They've never been seen again. In short, the PFLP, I've been saying, is being used for murder in Israel.
Now, the man who was killed was actually a member of the Knesset, wasn't he?
He was our tourism minister.
Yeah, but wasn't he with the Knesset? And he, you know, if he had taken left the government and taken the other parties with him, well, the government would have fallen, wasn't that?
I think it would have been shaky. It would have been a scandal, that's for sure. Three parties leaving a government,
right,
would have been noticed.
Okay.
And that was Zahavi. Nonetheless, the key now is not Zahavi's murder. The key now is the BBC report that came out this week. And folks, this was on, look, the BBC is not friendly to Israel, but they've got a story given to them by an intelligent operative that said the 1976 Entebbe hijacking, the glorious Entebbe hijacking, where the Israelis flew to Uganda and freed their prisoners, 103 passengers on an Air France jet hijacked to Entebbe. The BBC claimed it was a PFLP job ordered by the Mossad. That the whole myth of Entebbe was an Israeli job aimed at proving to the French people that the Arabs are extremely dangerous and you shouldn't be drifting their way. Look, if this is true, everything I've been saying about the PFLP is true now.
Well, I think for people to know what happened with a lot of French people on the plane and a lot of Israelis on the plane, and Idi Amin took all the French people and repatriated them, and he was holding them just simply the Jews.
Yep.
That's really how that lined up.
Now, that wasn't supposed to happen, according to the BBC report, that the PFLP turned into a real hijacking. They screwed up the plan, and Israel was forced to mount an operation. All this is in the BBC report. Now, how do I think it's true? Now, I got this, by the way, it's everywhere in the Israeli press. Again, non-conspiratorial. How do I know it's true? Well, the Israeli reaction was the reaction they used to give me. We are not going to answer this. It is not a worthy thing. We will not answer such rumors and lies. Exactly what they told about the Rabin assassination, and that lets me know that there is truth to this story. The Entebbe rescue was a PFLP Mossad operation. Folks, if you're an Israeli, to hear a thing like that, it's just one more act of deep demoralization, and it's Bunker Hill. Bunker Hill was an operation that the British and the Americans planned together, and it was all fake. It's the same business. It's a part of the Israeli history, and it was all fake. Now, that's when it will go away, just like the anthrax. It will disappear. Israelis are so overwhelmed with scandal. Now, here is me again, and once again, no recognition. It's very irritating. No recognition for this. Now, how many times I've told you, and how many times have I told other people on radio, and how many times have I written that Powers was responsible for Jonathan Pollard sitting in prison? We've gone over this. I wrote an article a month ago all over again, tracing Powers with taking his information from Jonathan Pollard. Powers was prime minister from 84 to 86. That's when Pollard was working. So you know that at the top of the Israeli political establishment, somebody was abusing Pollard's information and it had to be Powers. So it wasn't all that smart of me to figure out. Nonetheless, Paris took Pollard's information and turned it into Iran-Contra, and then he blackmailed the Bechtel Corporation and former Bechtel officials like Caspar Weinberger and James Baker and George Shultz. They said enough of Israel. Israel's got to go. this is it. We're finished with Israel. They're blackmailing us. It's too criminal. And these are not uncriminal people. And Bechtel is not an uncriminal corporation. But if Israel is too criminal for Bechtel, I mean, you've got yourself one mafia running the place. Now, Harris is now running for the president of Israel.
Could you explain to our listeners what that was really about? Because they don't understand, you know, what Pollard did, why it was so important that Peres had the information, and then what he proposed, how he was going to try to actually blackmail Bechtel Corporation.
Well, we start with the fact that Peres, through Pollard's information, discovered an arms for hostages deal. And he took the arms for hostages deal. It was to get Lebanese Americans out of prison in Beirut. And he took that information. He said, he didn't say, let's protect Israel. Let's put a stop to this. Let's end this right now. No, sirree. He said, what a great idea. We deserve a piece of this pie. And the next thing you know, Israel is going to the United States. He discovered this arms for hostages deal in July of 1984. By September of 1984, he sent a delegation to the United States. They include, what bothers me, of course, is the head of the Council of Foreign Relations in Israel, David Kimchi. He was one of the delegation. Al Schwimmer, head of the Israel aircraft industry, Nimrod Novak, close aide. They all go to the States, and they say to the, now I may call it the Reagan administration, but it was the Bush administration. Reagan was already neutralized. They say to him, we like this idea of arms for hostages. We can get them out of Iran. You use Israeli missiles. We'll ship them to Iran, and we'll take the money. Now, Israel, back then, and maybe now, but certainly back then, ran the cocaine market in Latin America. Noriega had, I believe his name was Michael Klein. I actually interviewed him when he was freed and went back to Israel. But nonetheless, Noriega had Israelis running the cocaine market. And this is a huge scandal, by the way, that has not been really, really exploited. And it's been so many years, it's not a scandal anymore. But Israel had its fingers big time in the cocaine market. So you take the Iranian money, turn it into cocaine, sell the cocaine, take the money and buy arms for the Sandinistas. No, for the Contras, I'm sorry. That's why it was called Iran-Contra. This was what Peres proposed to the Americans, that let's expand this arms for hostages deal and make it a real mafia operation. Next, the poison gas factory. Now, when I wrote the article, I had writers from all over the place saying, no way there was a poison gas factory in Baghdad. Bechtel didn't get going in Baghdad until a few years later in 1989. And I said, no, not according to the expert testimony that I provided in my book, Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, the Holocaust. Actually, I'm going to say that now. Go to lulu.com. It's Chapter 3 is Pollard. The whole story I'm telling you in detail. Chapter 3 of Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust. You just order it. You can download it for $10. lulu.com. And now we've got Peres saying, what a great thing. Let's blackmail the Bechtel Corporation. Well, if you think I'm kidding about this, your attorney general, his name was Edwin Meese, he resigned. He was forced to resign because he accepted the letter of bribery from Shimon Peres. Go to your internet, Google Edwin Meese pipeline, and you'll see that Edwin Meese was forced out of office because Peres came up with a deal. He said, well, Bechtel can't just give us money. There has to be a good reason. And here is the wacko, crazy world of Shimon Peres. I mean, this insane man is running for president of Israel. What he says, well, you know, the Persian Gulf is blocked, and you need an oil pipeline out of the Gulf of Aqaba, Baghdad to Aqaba, Jordan. Well, we promised not to bomb it. For a mere $700 million a year paid to the Labor Party of Israel, $70 million every year for 10 years, we won't bomb your pipeline. And if that sounds insane, well, Peres is insane. Peres is a mafia crook, and for him, this is nothing. This is strong arm tactics. Unfortunately, well, Caspar Weinberger was an executive vice president of the Bechtel Corporation. James Baker, George Shultz, they all had their fingers in the Bechtel pie, and they're being blackmailed. They exposed the letter to Meese. Meese was forced to resign. Peres keeps on being a leader of Israel. The Israeli political system cannot get rid of the mafia, no matter what it does. They can't even get rid of Omer today with a zero approval rating. There is no mafia in Israel. There's no democracy in Israel. There is a mafia. Peres is very much at the top of the mafia. He's running for the president of Israel. And now get ready. Here is something new. And I'm sorry if this is confusing. There's so much crime to sort it out. You know, people, you actually have to read my books to sort it out. But nonetheless, the Pollard people, the Committee to Liberate Jonathan Pollard, has now sent a report to every member of the Knesset proving that Shimon Peres is the reason why Jonathan Pollard is in prison. And is my name in there? Oh, don't be ridiculous. Why would you use the only author who's been saying this for the last 4 or 5 years, that Peres is the reason Pollard can ever escape from prison? It's to protect Peres. Well, no, I get zero credit and responsibility for what I did. But now, nonetheless, the Pollard people have woken up and are actually saying what I've been saying. Peres is the reason he's in prison.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shavis. Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Barry Shavis. Now, before we go on, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books.
I'm sure. LULULULU.com and write in Chamish, Chamish, and you'll see my books. The latest is Bye Bye Gaza, and I hope we have the time because, boy, have there been events about the Gaza withdrawal, and I'll go into it. My website is the Barry Chamish website, or barrychamish.net will get you to my website. And by the way, I'm coming to Denver. I'm going to give a speech at Beit Messiah at Don's, Don Wiedemann's really nice, nice congregation. It'll be in July, and anyone who wants to write me, I'm in America now, and I'm planning a little bit of a tour. I'm going to be in Mississippi with Pastor Dave Matthews and with Don. Note there are no Jews, and this is actually very, very bothersome to me. But write Chamish, B-A, C-H-A-M-I-S-H-B-A at gmail.com and book me. And now we're going to the Russians. And again, all in the same week, please remember, it's all this week that's been happening. Go into Google and write Russian compound Jerusalem negotiations and you'll get it. Can you believe the Israeli government is going to give up a big chunk of downtown Jerusalem to the Russians? Now look, there's something called the Russian compound right off Jaffa Road, right opposite the main post office. Is the Israeli criminal court building, is the Israeli jail, and there's a white Russian church. Israel, it has now been revealed, the negotiations began under Ariel Sharon, who else but Ariel Sharon, we're going to give the Russians a chunk of downtown Western Jerusalem. It was announced this week. Now, look, let's say that you take a nice neighborhood opposite the Congress building, opposite the White House, and give it to the Russians. It'll now be Russian territory in downtown Washington. You go and you cross the border, I don't know, a gate or something, and you're in Russia. Israel is going to return a big chunk of downtown Western Jerusalem to the Russians. Have I been dramatic enough about this to tell you how profoundly disturbing this story really is?
Well, it is an amazing, amazing story, and we're certainly not hearing about that, but we've also been talking about, you know, how they're talking about giving part of Mount Zion to the Vatican. I mean,
they're giving up all of Jerusalem. Israel is, look, I've been doing this. Reality with me is really so opposite the reality we've been told. And I've been catching a lot of flack for this. I'm in America. My situation is I'm married and I'm living in St. Augustine, Florida, because Israel made me very ill. I was very sick in Israel for 4 months, and I knew my time had come. The jig was up for what I was doing. I had to get out. My life has really been turned around. But nonetheless, while I'm here, the Russians and the Israelis are negotiating a big chunk of downtown Jerusalem is going to become Russian. Now, I will send out the story probably next week, but in the meantime, go onto Google and you'll find all this stuff. Also, the IsraelNationalNews.com has a collection of these stories. These are not... Well, they're very conspiratorial, but I didn't make them up. I never make anything up. I mean, this is opposed to the way I operate. Look, the Russians are going to get downtown Jerusalem. I wrote that in my books. I've written this for 10 years. I even wrote in my very first book, Traitors and Cockbaggers in the Promised Land. You have to write me for one of, like, the two or three copies left in the world, that the Israelis and the Russians were negotiating the Russian colony, the return of the Russian colony to Russia. Now, why would they do that? Well, that's real easy. The Russians are supplying Syria with missiles. There's going to be a missile war. Well, this week again, Israel's enemies, including Iran, have said that Israel is going to go down this summer in a spark of flame, and, well, heck, if you're attacked by missiles from number one Gaza, the Egyptians, our peace partner, are allowing the Hamas to be supplied with endless missiles. Iran is supplying Hezbollah with missiles. The Vatican soldiers, France, Germany, and Italy, are supposedly protecting Israel from the Hezbollah, or at least separating the forces, are in fact there to make sure that Israel goes down. Our other peace partner, Jordan, is allowing the PLO in Ramallah to set up rocket and artillery factories. And God help us when Syria enters this war with its 40,000 missiles. Israel is now surrounded by tens of thousands of missiles, and a country the size of New Jersey is not going to survive that kind of attack. By the way, that will be my speech in Denver. I'm going to call it the last war. I'm going to call it the final war, because poor little Israel, where my family lives and my best friends live, is just simply under massive, massive threat. Now, but let's go on to how they're breaking up Israel piece by piece. Next, I have two stories. I'm going to go with the shit. Well, I'm going to do one more before I go into a personal story. Last summer, there was an attempted homosexual parade in downtown Jerusalem, a city where 60% of the population are Orthodox Jews, who are absolutely repulsed by the thought of the homosexuals walking through their city, parading themselves. Jerusalem is, well, special. I mean, if you want a homosexual parade, why not just march through St. Mark's Square and into the Sistine Chapel? I mean, why Jerusalem? They're doing it again, within, I think it's now only 2 or 3 weeks, the homosexual parade starts all over again. The Orthodox are going to go crazy. And I'll tell you, this time around, you may see a lot of bloodshed. Now, I'm going to repeat myself once again. The Ford Foundation are backing both sides. I've done this research. I did it last year. I traced the source of money for the homosexual parade in Jerusalem to the Ford Foundation. They're supplying the Israeli homosexual network with their money, and they're supplying the Americans who are coming to march in this parade with their money. Oh, poor Jerusalem, what they're going to see all over again. The religious just going crazy. This happened last week. Now, I'm going to do two more very important stories, and I'm going to try and slow down. There's just so much awful information coming out right now. All right, Shimshon Sifrin, a name you don't know. In Israel, the right know him extremely well. He has been accused of attempted murder. He apparently threw rocks at an Arab. Oh, I hear the noise.
We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shannon. Stand back here for our final segment today with Barry Shamish. Barry, pick up the story and run with it.
Oh, this was such a week. I'm rushing and I'm confusing people and there's too many names. Look, the next story is the story of Bye-Bye Jazz of my book. I knew the people involved and it's, well, what can I tell you, but the following story is something personal, and it's, I know the people involved, and I've been in contact with them for years, ever since Rabin was assassinated. And I'm trying to, well, I'm trying to tell you people as slowly as possible that Israel right now is going down. It's being hit on every side of it. Look, there's a person named Shimshon Sifrin. He is being tried, I believe, Sunday, I believe today or yesterday, some sort of verdict was handed down. I know the family very well. I know because the father of Shimshon Sifrin, C-I-T-R-Y-N, by the way, was arrested because he identified Avishai Raviv, the partner of the supposed murderer of Yitzhak Rabin, Yigal Amir. He had a man named Avishai Raviv work with him. It's a complicated story. I wrote a book that actually made the top of the Israeli bestseller charts called Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. Sifrin identified Avishai Raviv as a Shabak agent, and he was arrested, held without charge for 9 months. And Marilyn and Arnold Sifrin contacted me and asked me what they can do. I put them on film. Well, that's one story. The father was arrested 4 days ago, supposedly, once again, for trying to attack Arabs. Somebody told these Arabs to surround his car, smash his windshield, put him in mortal danger. He pulled out a gun. And now, for pulling out a gun after being surrounded by these Arabs, he is under house arrest. That is Shmuel Sifrin. His son, Shimshon Sifrin, is being tried for trying to murder an Arab who threw rocks at him in Gush Katif. Oh, boy. Look, the story is of Kak. Kak was the JDL when Mayor Kahana was alive. It became a government, nothing but a government. Well, it became simply a means of proving that the Israeli right are irresponsible. They are attacking Arabs. They're a bunch of murderers. Therefore, let's get the settlers out of their homes. These people are too crazy, supposedly, to be living amongst Arabs. Shmuel Sifrin is under arrest right now, house arrest, for again trying to defend himself against a mob of Arabs. His son Shimshon Sifrin once again was arrested for throwing rocks at Arabs. Now, and by the way, in Israel, that is attempted murder. He could actually sit for 10, 20 years. And I told Marilyn, her mother, his mother, you have to finally tell the world, you have to defend your son because he was a victim of an Israeli government plot. And this is how the plot worked. There was a hotel in Gush Katif called the Palm Beach Hotel. A true patriot named Nadia Matar and a member of the Knesset who was really doing his best, Ari Eldad, took over the hotel. They were planning a defense of Gush Katif. They were planning really a head-on confrontation with the army. Our army, the IDF, who were going to remove Jews from their home. And then one day, TAC, or what you might call the JDL, it's not the same thing. There is a JDL. It is okay. But nonetheless, in Israel, the JDL is not okay. In comes Itamar Ben-Gvir, puts up a sign, or his people put up a sign on the hotel, Muhammad is a pig. The neighboring Arab village is furious. They come in and throw rocks. Shimshon Sitran fights back against the Arab rock throwers. He throws a couple rocks. Now he's up for attempted murder. As for the Arabs, well, nothing, of course, nothing. Nonetheless, it was a government plot. And there were two victims. There were more than two victims. But of attempted murder, there was Daniel Pinner. There was Shmuel Sitran. They were all caught up by the government. Itamar Ben-Gvir was working for Israeli police. He was working for the intelligence. He was not working for any JDL or COC. His background must be incredible. I wrote the parents of Shimshon for 1 year. I said, you could have learned your lesson from your son Shmuel. He sat in prison under no charge for 9 months. You know it was a setup. You know his own son and your grandson, Shimshon, were part of a Shabak plan, a plan by the Israeli government to destroy Gush Katif. It worked like a charm. There was no more Gush Katif. 300 young settler teenagers, mostly women, because Nadia Matar is head of the Women in Green, were arrested. Many were held in prison 4 or 5 months, and these are 13 and 14-year-old girls. This is going on in Israel. They're arresting the most patriotic, decent people in the country. I said, if you don't defend your son with the fact that he was caught up in a government, really a conspiracy, I'm going to use the word, well, he's going to lose, and he's going to sit in prison just like his father and just like your son. They didn't listen to me. And guess who the judge is in this trial? It's Edmund Levy. Edmund Levy was the judge in the Yigal Amir trial. Edmund Levy made sure the wrong person sat in prison for the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, Yigal Amir. He ignored all the evidence given to him. He dismissed all the evidence that Amir could not have shot Rabin because he was shot 3 times and not twice. He was shot from the front, and Yigal Amir never shot him from the front. He never had a chance to shoot him from the front. He was shot point blank. Yigal Amir never shot him point blank. This is the same judge.
Another time, Barry. God bless. Talk to you later.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology.
Well, back here, first of all, if out across America you're hearing this program and you'd like Barry to come and speak to your congregation or group, he's certainly looking for opportunities to speak. That's how he's going to have to support himself here in the United States, that and selling his books. Books are fascinating and important part of history. You can pull them down or buy them from Lulu.com. I suggest you get them, their short books, which is loaded with information. If you'd like to know how they've been experimenting on American troops, and we carry a four-tape set on the anthrax vaccine. We carry a four-tape set called Vaccine A. It's about the experimental vaccine they used in the Gulf War that destroyed the lives of so many of our young men. Of the 697,000 men we sent to the Gulf, according to the Veterans Administration, we have the information, we can provide it for you, over 78,000 of them are now dead. How could that be? I mean, why isn't Rush Lombard telling us that? Or Brian Williams? Well, if you'd like the figures from the Veterans Administration, we have them. And, of course, well over a third of them are ill. We have another four-tape set. We have Vaccine A, we have the anthrax vaccine, and then we have a report put out by the Veterans Administration back in 1994 about all of the experiments they used, done with our boys, our military, using them as guinea pigs, destroying their health, and lying, and lying, and lying, and lying. Do you really want your son to be used as a guinea pig, your daughter? If you'd like what we call the Rockefeller Committee report out of the Veterans Administration, and believe me, I checked it out. I tried to get the woman who wrote the report that came out of the Veterans Administration, our committee, instead of committee on the Veterans Administration, come on my program. She was frankly afraid to come on. And I talked to her. No way. She was frightened. Anybody who exposes the betrayal, the treachery, is afraid. Well, the four-tape set on anthrax vaccine used to destroy the health of our children, the four-tape set on Vaccine A and the Rockefeller Report, all available from Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, if you're interested in coming on Saturday, when I'll be there in Loveland, why, the number is 970-346-3742. That's 970-346-3742. I'm trying to get the doors open a couple of hours ahead of time so we can get a chance to meet people and talk to them. And then if you want to hear me talk for several hours, we're going to be talking about the history of the wars of the last century. And you can't understand what's going on in Iraq today, in Afghanistan, or the coming war with Iran that is going, of course, to be combined with an attack on Israel and an effort to destroy Israel, unless you understand the spiritual forces behind everything going on. Look at it from a historical point of view, none of it makes sense. Look at it from a spiritual point of view, understand the spiritual origin of these various organizations that control the world from behind the scenes, and it all makes sense. So remember our website, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, my number, 1-800-5-HIV-WARP. He is America's country. Back today, till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.